Hello, hello. Welcome to the You Are Covered podcast. I'm Hannah Lynn Miller. I am your host. And today's topic is a little hard. It's hard to swallow. Sometimes it's hard to talk about. For me, as a woman who's experienced this, a lot of times it is really hard to talk about it in the way that I feel like I'm going to be heard. And so when you're listening to this, I just encourage you to come at it as a way of education. And just because something doesn't happen to you per se, doesn't mean it hasn't happened to other women. And so when we are talking about this topic, I think it's really important to just know that the data is there, that it is hard to be a woman and be in the workplace. And so that's why we're going to talk about sexism in the workplace and how to recover from it. I'm also going to give you some facts just so that we have the language for what goes on, what can happen. And again, this isn't every industry. This isn't every workplace. This isn't everybody's experience. I can say personally for myself, I have experienced sexism that has been outright, and it's not fun, and it definitely takes you a long time to recover. I also have clients who've experienced this kind of difficulty in the workplace. Again, just because it hasn't happened to you doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And I think sometimes when we talk about sexism in the workplace, we can have all these trigger words and everything can come up, and if you haven't experienced it yourself, it can be really hard to understand. And I'm guilty of that. I really did probably went through most of my life thinking that if you worked hard enough, you could succeed. And that's not true in so many cases for women. There are a lot more situations where they're not able to progress as much as men. And so I am guilty of that until I experienced it myself and I've seen it in my friends' lives and their careers. I did not believe that this was a thing, but it is and it can be. And it's pretty discouraging to experience it and to be affected by it, your family's finances being affected by it. It can be really, really discouraging. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And so if you just want to learn, you clicked on it because you want to learn more, great. If you clicked on this because you've experienced it yourself, I hear you. It is confusing as heck, because if you have not experienced any kind of discrimination towards just who you are as a person, it can be really confusing. And so we're going to talk about that today. And I just want you to know that when you are recovering, it can cause a lot of confusion, a lot of shame. Your self-confidence can get hit. A lot of times we're really shocked by what a person has said or done because it doesn't make sense to us, right? So in this podcast, we're going to cover what sexism is, the different types of sexism an individual can experience, the effect on our health, what to do next in a biblical perspective. I'm going to start with this Forbes magazine article that I found really, really interesting. I'm going to put this in the show notes so you can check it out. But I thought that this statement by one of their readers was really profound and really true, especially when you study psychology and where discrimination comes from. The quote says, "If kids who grow up seeing sexism, even in subtle ways, in their homes, as so many do, it normalizes the idea that some people are inherently superior to others. I believe this makes prejudice against other groups that are not intimate acquaintances much more likely. And after all, if dad is dismissive of mom's work, feelings, or ideas, if he neglects or devalues chores in our society, views as women's work, kids will pick up on this, even if nothing's ever really explicitly said. Both boys and girls unconsciously internalize the idea that women are somehow less than or made to be unpaid maids. If it is normal to treat those you love this way, why would you hesitate to treat strangers even worse? If we want a society that does not discriminate against minorities or women, we need to denormalize discrimination and prejudice against our own moms and sisters." I just thought this statement was really profound because as we talk about women in the workplace, you know, that's not every woman's job right now. That's not every woman's role. A lot of times, you know, and I talk about this with clients who, women who are stepping out of their career and deciding to take some time at home, women typically take a lot more time off and on and changing jobs a lot more than men do. They have to pause. They have to maybe figure out a different situation for their work life balance, because they typically are the ones who are at home taking care of kids. And so those are things to keep in mind. But if at home the conversation is that mom's job is easier or less valuable, I think that's really detrimental to your daughters and your sons in understanding what women do in the world and in culture and their amazing roles that we have. We carry life, and it pauses life. Doing that really does pause your life, and I am experiencing that myself. It is really hard to do the normal day-to-day life things, and people who work full-time, women who work full-time, it really does impact their day-to-day. So having this conversation with kids and in the home is where it starts. And I have some amazing friends who are amazing parents, and they talk to their kids about the importance of what mommy does when dad leaves and why their role is important. And dad says a lot of it too, and says, hey, you know, mom's doing this part-time job and it's to pay the mortgage, or mom's staying home with us so that, you know, we can have a functional day-to-day week. And having the conversations around what each parent does, I think, is really important. So I just want to start off with that, especially because I know not every woman works, and that's okay, and that's great. And if that's what, you know, you're able to do, amazing. If you are working and you like it and you're a mom, that's cool too. If you're not a mom and you don't plan on being a mom, that's amazing. So as we have this conversation, I want you to hear my heart that this is not, I'm not pointing one or the other. And I really think it's dangerous and hurtful when we say one role is better than the other. Mom role, working role, creating money and finances, versus, you know, staying home with your kids. I think having those conversations that are prioritizing one over the other, extremely dangerous, not okay, all the things. And I think that's where it stems from, it because your kids who have been told to or modeled to devalue women's roles will go and step into the workplace and do things like limit women's job opportunity because they see that they're really only supposed to stay home with kids. And that's not okay. It's really not okay. So let's talk about the different types of sexism, okay? So there's hostile sexism, and this is when you are just plain out hostile towards women. You show disdain or hatred. You don't hide it. Benevolent sexism is a belief that women are less capable, weaker, not as intelligent as men. This view can be really subtle and can be encouraged when women's value is purely based on two things: their role as women and as a mother, and then their physical appearance. So when you have those two things, and that's only reason why women are out there, which is horrible, that's when benevolent sexism can arise. Ambivalent sexism is a combination of hostile and benevolent sexism. This kind of sexism is the belief that women can be both good, but also deceitful and manipulative. So it's like an overarching umbrella, and it can show that sexism is reflected in the cycle of abuse that keeps women as subordinates. You see this a lot in movies. I mean, all you have to do is go watch some movies in the 60s where women were manipulative and they were the ones who caused the problems, and then the guy comes in and he's the sound of reason. This list also comes from the ambivalent sexism inventory that researchers look at and measure sexism in the workplace. So this is not just something I'm making up. This is something that is used in psychology to measure sexism. So those are the three things, the different types of sexism. And again, benevolent can be seen really a lot. I think in the Christian community, I think it can be seen a lot, especially when we limit to a woman's role to just being a mother. And I just think that that's just wrong because it's not true. God gave us a brain and we get to use it. And that's why I'm huge on like women getting educated. I think it's huge to encourage women in their what in their gifting. And yes, there are times where stuff like that gets paused because of how hard raising kids are, but it doesn't mean that that's the primary role, of a woman. Okay. Sexism can operate on different levels in society. So this is something to keep in mind. Interpersonal can be sexism that exists within a relationship with others. And this can look like the husband not respecting the work that the wife does day to day to take care of kids. It can look like a demeaning comment from a coworker or a negative comment from a dad to his daughter about women. It could look like being left out of meetings, lunch meetings, because you're a woman and not able to collaborate with coworkers. That's what interpersonal looks like. Internalized sexism refers to sexism in an individual that you've internalized. So it's a lot of times what happens is, you know, you can internalize the things that happened to you and your mom growing up by the men around you and the comments that have been made. And you can internalize the beliefs as truth themselves. And these beliefs can cause shame, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, powerlessness, and feelings of incompetence. I'm just really lucky that I am the second generation of women in my family to go to college. My aunt was the first, and she always tells the story of how my grandpa told her that it doesn't matter what you pick, like you're gonna pick something to do with your life, a career, and you're gonna go for it and you're gonna go do college. And she loves working, and she's a nurse, all the things. And I think that that's so cool that my grandfather encouraged all of his sons, because she's the only daughter, and his daughter the same exact way. And my dad really did the same thing. And I'm so thankful that he did. I remember when I was probably around like 18 or 19, and he said, you know, God forbid something happens, you get married, whatever, and something happens and you have to be able to provide for yourself. Like, you never know what happens in life. And so that's why you're going to have an education. And that's why you're going to have a career. And I'm so lucky that my dad's always talked to me that way. Because what I found as I've, you know, met other people, heard other people's stories, is that that's not always the case. It's not always the case that women have the opportunity or are encouraged to follow after their career and their education. So I think that's a really cool gift that my dad, starting with my grandfather, did. And you can see that he did that because he saw his dad do that, encourage his sister, my dad's sister, to have an education, have a career. And I think that's a really beautiful thing. Okay, that was internalized sexism. But institutionalized sexism is a little bit more difficult. It's hard. I don't like talking about it because people start saying things like, you're a feminist, like it's a bad thing. But it's true. Sexism in institutions such as faith backgrounds, churches, denominations, religion, businesses, educational systems, governments, the media, and healthcare, there are things that get set up to where women's, you can just look at the healthcare system. Women's healthcare is not always set up properly. I mean, if you think about it, like women are just now becoming doctors. Like that wasn't a thing back in the 60s or maybe the 50s or 40s, right? So these are all new things that we didn't have that like I get to
experience having a female doctor, you know, and an OB doctor. That's a huge blessing. It wasn't like that always. And because of that, then there's not a whole lot of, listen, women and men, we have different perspectives. And if we could work together, that would be a beautiful thing. We'd get the full picture. I really believe that. I think every industry is supposed to be that way. I don't think that there's any place where women shouldn't be. And that's just my opinion. And you can totally disagree with me. I am up for it. But that is where I'm at today. And maybe I'll change my mind in the future. But that's just where I'm at. Because institutionalized sexism is not good. Because we are created to be better together. I really believe that. And in every sense of that word. And, you know, there's been systems that's just been set up for women not to have freedom, not to have, I mean, we couldn't even have credit cards. That's wild. So, I mean, these things are new changes. And so I'm excited to see what the future has for us. But I don't think we should forget at all that these are new things. And so because it's a new thing, there are institutions that are set up that are mostly just created for men to succeed. And that's fine. That's the only type of people that were working, you know, what, 50 something years ago, a while ago. And so that's slowly changing. But these are really, really good things to know and have language for. Another example of institutionalized sexism could also be the gender pay gap, which again is a really hard thing to grapple with. And reasons behind that, rough. All of it is rough. It's just tough. That is institutionalized sexism. That is the broad term. Just so that you have language for it. Whether it's another thing. So vehicles of sexism can include work policies or structures. I always say that minorities and women tend to get really neglected and not able to flourish in systems and workplaces that do not have good leadership. If there is poor leadership, women and minorities suffer. And that's just because of the power dynamics that we still have in today. Behavior, so actions done, are vehicles of sexism. Speech, images, the way that women are portrayed, tradition, and laws. So these are all things that can just roll on in with sexism, and they can just help sexism just keep traveling. Health effects. This is really interesting. It's by a study done in 2019 by Homan, and it shows that there's many negative health effects from sexism for both men and women. There's a research that was done, and it concludes that gender equality in the U.S. is not only a human right issue, but it's also a public health problem. They discovered with different socio levels, so that means more of the personal levels on the macro and the meso. So meso would be marriage, dyads, and then on the micro, which would be men and women individually. Men and women both experiencing negative health issues because of sexism. And this is the big point. Women who are exposed to high levels of sexism in structure, like a business structure, had twice as many health issues and appeared 7 years older in their health profile than their counterparts. And then men exposed to macro level structure systems for sexism was also associated with chronic conditions, worse health and impaired functioning, greater gender equality at the meso level, so that is intimate partnership and marriage, is associated with better health among men. So I thought that was really huge. I think the thing about women and being in government business structures that are just set up to help them not thrive, I think that's a given. And then men, though, I thought that was really interesting that when they're married on the meso level, that partnership can also better their health if it is, in fact, a partnership and it's not just one person over the other person. So what to do next? Sexism in the workplace is a daily reality for many women. It's not always overt, but it can be insidious undermining confidence and limiting career advancement. Another thing that I'm not going to really touch on is that nearly half of women have reported to experience some kind of sexual harassment at work. And that's a whole nother category that we could go into. Comments that are made, just inappropriate behavior that can happen a lot, because a lot of times workplaces can turn into the locker room. And that's just a reality that a lot of women face, especially in the corporate world. So here's some steps. I would always say, if an incident happens, take some time off work, if possible, to recover emotionally. Always, always report it. Talk to HR. Talk to, even if the HR that you work at office is crap. Always have email documentation. Always have a trail and an HR file complaint. And then the other thing I would say that is really helpful is find allies. Find other women who are not just like walking around with their blinders on, because that you can find that a lot in places. But find women who have done it, who have overcome it, who continue to work even after experiencing something traumatic like sexism. And, you know, allies could be male too. It could be a guy who has seen the injustice, who has seen the harm that it's done. And also, you know, consider legal action. I am not versed in this area, but if that is where it is going, I would always encourage you to do all the things and advocate for yourself, whatever that looks like for you. And just know that I'm cheering for you. I think that this is just a horrible thing to experience. It definitely put me out. Like, it was so exhausting to experience these things. And it can be like small things that add up to the point that, you know, your career doesn't get advanced or listened to or valued. And you can be trying all you can and try to communicate with as many people as you can, but because you're not part of the boys club, or because you're not being seen as valuable because of being a woman, it can just feel so jarring, because you don't want to think that way. Trust me, I didn't want to think that way. But this happens. I love advocating. I love cheering on my clients who have experienced this and taking steps to advocate for themselves in their workplace is huge. And that's a little plug for, if you are in the state of Illinois, I am taking clients, and I really love talking about this topic and helping you, you know. And just one last thing, the link, by the way, to sign up for therapy today is in the show notes, so go ahead and check that out. Last thing I did want to mention is that in the Christian community, it's really hard, because there has been so much emphasis on authority and men and all of that. And I don't even want to dive into it, but theologically, I really think that we have to be careful with how we talk about that in the church and in the home, because that is what we go out into the world and we bring to our workplace and our jobs. And if we're telling men that that is how it is, that men rule over women, authority, like, and we put an emphasis on that, and we don't talk about the fact that men are supposed to be servant leaders, that can be a huge problem. And this is where I'm at with this whole thing. When I read Genesis, and if I read the whole part about God saying that men will rule over you, Eve, that's part of the fall. That's not God's best for how men and women are supposed to live together. That's not how men and women are supposed to interact, okay? So in the Christian community, if we keep leaning in, I just don't get it. That's where I'm at theologically right now. I just don't get it. I don't understand why we're focusing so much on this authority. I don't see it in the Bible. I do see servant leadership for men, and I do see that the ruling over was a part of the fall. It was not there in the Garden of Eden. And if we are supposed to be redeemed people, this is not supposed to be part of our story any longer. That is something that we left behind, right? When we repented, we decided we're going to follow Jesus. That is no longer a thing. Men switch from being the ruling over because of the curse. Okay, read Genesis. It's in the Bible. It sounds really strange saying it out loud. Yeah. But then you switch over and you have to learn how to be a servant leader. Okay, you have to learn how to serve like Jesus, because we're trying to be like Jesus. We're not trying to be like Adam and Eve after the fall, right? It just doesn't make any sense to me. So that's where I'm at theologically. Again, leave room for me to change my mind. But that's where I'm at. And you can disagree with me. That's totally fine. But I don't see that being helpful at all. And it definitely should not be bleeding into places of business and women's roles in society and culture should not be just limited to staying home with kids. And if a woman wants to have a career, wants to have an education, we should make it easier. We should make it not as painful. And because it's very detrimental to health. And you know what? It doesn't help us out. It doesn't help us out. Men, women, children, everybody benefits, okay, when sexism is not a thing. If you want to get all this information, I also have all the things that I cited. It is all on the blog and in the show notes, and you can check it out. And listen, if you're experiencing sexism, just know you're not the only one out there, and that those feelings are valid. Talk to somebody about it, somebody that you trust, and somebody that's going to hear you and not minimize what you've experienced. And I just want you to know that you are so strong, you can handle it. Make sure you take that time to process it and to talk to safe people so that you can get back up and advocate for yourself, because it is not easy. It is not easy, and it's everywhere. So thanks for clicking on this podcast episode. I know it's not a fun topic. I hope it was helpful, and I hope that you got some language for what you're experiencing. And as always, know that God's got you, and you are covered.